407, 52 degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 590 WKZO. And the Jeremy Lawrence Show, hour number two. This portion of the program brought to you by Weatherstone Village. Check out their local award-winning 55 and over community at their open house every Saturday from 10 until 2. And glad that you could be here with us. You know, we were talking last hour, and if you missed out on it, GM, if you heard in the news, GM is going to be paying $35 million to the government. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration announced this, said $35 million because they waited years to recall the affected vehicles. That's in that whole ignition switch recall that they have linked to, what did they say, at least 13 deaths. And it's 2.6 million vehicles that have faulty ignition switches. There has been a ton of debate over this. And this just coming out, GM has agreed to the fine, represents the single highest civil penalty amount ever paid as a result of an NHTSA investigation violation stemming from a recall. Now, interestingly enough, Transportation Secretary said during a press briefing, "We cannot tolerate, we will never accept a person or company that knows danger exists and says nothing. Literally, silence can kill." All right. This is GM. They had a problem that went back before the bankruptcy, but that secret was kept through the bankruptcy and up till recently. Let's also remember that during the bankruptcy, the owner of GM was Uncle Sam. That's right. The government had bought in. So many people, myself included, had taken to calling them government motors. And it was basically just to say, you know, the government bought into this. They shouldn't have done it. But here's the thing. The government bought in, and while the government was not responsible for the beginning of this situation, this happened while the government was on watch for GM. And now, isn't it just like our government, who had owned a piece of GM and then got rid of GM, to turn around and fine GM, the company that they used to own? Yes, that same GM. Now, General Motors has agreed, yes, we're going to go ahead and pay the fine. But you could picture them saying, well, you know what? We really need to share this blame because not all that long ago we had different owners. Isn't that right, President Obama? So in effect, they could say that the government would be responsible to pay the government part of this fine. Now, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, they bring this up. They say you got to pay $35 million. And the government's really not taking any responsibility here. And, okay, granted, they weren't the ones to cover it up originally. Not that the government's good at cover-ups or anything. You know, they wouldn't be good at that at all, would they? Not at all. NSA surveillance. But there it is. The government owned a piece of GM. Are they not responsible, at least in some small way?
I would definitely agree that they are.
I would think so. You know, so in effect, the government should go after the government for the fine there. Wouldn't that be fun for the government to go try and chase down? Now, I don't know what part of the government they'd have to chase down because it was the executive branch that came up with this. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe, you know, garnish the president's salary a little bit, take some out of there, you know, just a thought. Maybe take some out of the, you know, the travel budget. Certainly there's a ton there. I don't know. Just a few thoughts there. But I'd love to get your insights on this as well. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or you could text us at 80373. And as you've heard right here on the program, we will share some of those texts as they come through. So we definitely want to hear from you. Let's head over to the phone lines right now where John's standing by. Hi, John. Welcome to the program. Happy Friday to you.
Oh, you betcha. TGIF. Basically, I just have one comment.
Okay.
When you say the government, hey, that's us.
Mm-hmm.
The government is us, so we're responsible.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's the thing. You know, yeah, we're responsible, but we, the government, is also asking for payment as well. So technically we'd be paying ourselves.
Technically, we should fine ourselves and then pay. No, we're not paying ourselves. We're paying the victims.
Okay. All right. You make a good point there.
Okay.
All right, John, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. All right, 382-4280, if you'd like to be a part of the program. Also, 877-382-4280. You know, I don't want to make light of it, really, because, yeah, people lost their lives here. And, yes, most definitely GM needed to jump on this a long time ago. And who's to say when all of this originally came to light for GM that they didn't go, oh, my goodness, this is a big deal. And if we do something about this, if we start the recall now, bankruptcy would ensue. And they were trying to do whatever they could to avoid going bankrupt. And they eventually did anyway. So you got to wonder if that wasn't some of the reasoning behind it all to begin with. But I find it intriguing that, you know, the government's asking for money from a company that the government itself owned at some point or another. Now, I'm not saying at all that the government knew about this. It's possible they could have. Chances are they didn't, because they were really just more about, okay, here's some money. Yeah, because that was the basics of it. That was the basics of it. So, but I'm just bringing it up just basically to show the absurdity of the whole thing. The government own GM, which I never thought that they should. You know, they always get on the case of people that said, well, they needed to go through a managed bankruptcy and blah, 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 blah. And they always get on their case. Well, you see, if they'd have done that, they wouldn't have survived. Well, no. What they talked about is what happened, with one exception. What we were talking about was a managed bankruptcy that was taken through private channels rather than the government doing it. And that's, you know, I think that's the bottom line to begin with. But I find it interesting that this happened. I don't know. We did have a text come in at 803-73, and you can text in as well at that. They said, I'm all for blaming the government, and I think they're at fault for a lot of things. However, that being said, I don't think there's any one person from the government working in the executive office as a GM that really would have known what was going on at that point. So I do think there's some ignorance / innocence. Okay, in that case, yeah, and I ultimately that is what I'm saying. Chances are the government didn't get involved too closely with that portion of it. But they did get awfully involved to begin with, to be able to tell GM, okay, you will keep this part, you won't keep that part, you're going to lop that off, and that should be gone too. You know, I think instead it had to have gone through some sort of a managed situation. And I'm not necessarily saying Mitt Romney and his company, which, you know, he was no longer a part of that company, and Bain Capital and that sort of thing, but maybe something like that. Because that company, you know, there were companies out there that are investing in brands like that. GM, I think, would have been attractive. But that issue, I guess, you know, it's all a moot point at this point because, you know, here we are. But $35 million, a lot of money over this recall. GM has definitely earned it. I mean, it's another one of those black eyes. But at the same time, it comes from when they were not GM, but GM. That's what makes it even more confusing, all the more. I don't know. I'm just scratching
my head. It's hard to wrap your head around it.
I'll continue to try to do that. I'm not sure. We will continue. You know what? Going to talk a little bit about this minimum wage thing. If you didn't get a chance to chat with us yesterday about it, we're going to talk a little bit about it again. Senate passed their bill. Some people like it. A lot of people don't. We'll chat about it as the show continues. 52 degrees. This portion of the program is brought to you by Bronson Methodist Hospital, named one of America's 100 best hospitals for spine surgery by HealthGrades. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com. It's Jeremy Lawrence Show. Glad to be here with you. Glad to be here with you on a Friday. It is a good day. It is a very, very good day. So an enjoyable one to be had by all. And yes, you are only 40 minutes away, less than that, in fact, before the work whistle goes off and 5 o'clock is here. And for most of us, anyway, Michael still has to work.
One extra hour.
Yeah. But we put him to work a little extra just as punishment for holding onto the phones as long as he does. So it is what it is anyway. But, you know, the Michigan Senate approved their minimum wage increase yesterday. They decided that it was going to be $8.15. They decided eventually it needed to be $9.20. They were going to do that by 2017. Basically, what this thing does is it repeals the current minimum wage law and enacts a new one that not only does all of that, but also indexes to inflation after 2017 so that continuing increases in minimum wage would take place. Now, here's the interesting thing. And, you know, I mean, I almost predicted this one. They passed this. This is a higher minimum wage. And if you remember, this ballot proposal was originally not for $10.10 an hour. It was for less than that. They raised it to $10.10 because, well, President Obama's saying $10.10. Well, let's just go with that. He must know what he's talking about. All right. Well, then they came up with this particular proposal, put it into a bill, passed it. The House is looking at it now. And just like clockwork, you can predict this one. There's Democrats and advocates for the minimum wage hike to $10.10 an hour that are upset. Now, it's a higher minimum wage. This is what you wanted. Nope. 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 It's not enough. And they're circumventing the will of the voters. Okay, wait a minute. Let's review this a little bit, all right? We'll review this together. Group of voters gets together and says, you know what? We'd like to have a higher minimum wage. Guess what? We're going to put together a ballot initiative for this. Okay, let's do that. They write it up. And it was originally, I believe it was 9.10 or something like that is what they were wanting. Eventually, they changed the language for 10.10. And they said, all right, there's a group of people. We're out collecting signatures. And they report occasionally on their progress. And they reported on their progress somewhere in the neighborhood of 200,000 signatures to this point. Okay. Clearly, there is a big group of voters that are interested in this issue. So, the House and the Senate in Lansing take it up. Decide, you know what? We see that. We see there is a call for this. We see there is some effort behind this. So what we need to do is to respond to this. Now, I have to admit, I think that there is some wisdom in the response to be able to say, all right, we need to look at this in a way that it does not impact negatively lower wage workers and those that are providing jobs in the state. So let's look for a way to do this so that it you know, it allays some of those concerns, but still there is a minimum wage increase. So they put something together. The Senate passes a bill, and I will admit, I don't know that I'm totally for the idea because I wonder if that 920 is a little high. I'd like to see where it is in terms of how that impacts people. But nevertheless, they responded to the will of voters. If voters have expressed themselves and the representatives of the people are responding to voters who are saying we're interested in this issue by passing a bill based on that issue, how is that circumventing the will of the voters, I ask you? How?
I don't know. But to me, it seems like it's a compromise. I mean, it's like if you can't get 10.10, would you rather just have it stay at 7.40 then? I mean, come on.
Well, it comes down to this whole idea that, We want 10-10 and we want nothing else. And that's the thing that galls me about this the whole way. Well, we want 10-10. Well, that's funny. When you started the proposal, it was lower than that. Gee, how did you come to that conclusion? Did you do the calculations and figure out that that's what you need? Or, wait, the president said something different. Did we say not? We meant 10, not 9. We meant 10. Now, to people who put this ballot proposal together, they're actually getting more than they originally wanted. Get that. And yet they're upset. Well, they're circumventing the will of the people. The people are speaking, and the legislature, this evil group, is stepping in and deciding that they know better, and so they're going to pass something and circumvent the will of the people. But wait a minute. The will of the people was that a minimum wage increase would be in place. The Senate has acted. The House is looking at it, and I think we know the House is probably going to come up with something. Now, here's one thing that the spokesperson for Speaker Jace Bolger said. He said, well, we won't make any decisions about what to do with the bill until we have a chance to get a better understanding of the potential negative impact of this proposal on Michigan's working families and job providers. Okay, good. Good. I'm glad you're looking at it. I'm glad you're looking at it from that perspective. But I also know, you know, there is something before the House, and we talked about it earlier in the week. Margaret O'Brien had put that in and was here on the program and talked about it. And so something is going to come out of the House from this. We know that. So if something comes from the Senate and something comes from the House and the governor signs off on it and says, yep, it's law, I ask you again, how? How is that circumventing the will of the people if the House and Senate respond to the efforts of a group of voters? Now you can say, but it absolutely does away with the ballot initiative. Yeah, but what they did is address the concerns that were brought up, and they're addressing it in a way that it fits that middle ground. But we want 10-10. Well, maybe you're not going to get 10-10.
And sometimes you don't always get what you want.
You know?
That's life.
You can't always get what you want. The Rolling Stones said it once. But it is wisdom. Think about that. Think about the lyrics of that song. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you might find you get what you need here. You know, I mean, wisdom in song right there.
I think the Rolling Stones knew what they were talking about there, or singing about.
It was one of the few times they knew what they were talking about, because normally they were drinking something, I would think. But there's the thing. And this particular effort in the Senate was a bipartisan effort. There were Democrats that voted yes. There were Democrats that voted no. There were Republicans that voted yes. There were Republicans that voted no. I submit to you this. This is not Republicans jamming this through. This was a bipartisan effort to say, yep, this is something that is responding to it. It is a compromise. We're happy to stand behind it. Now, not everybody voted for it. We know that. But I'm still wondering to myself, for those people that would say that they're circumventing the will of the people, how is it circumventing the will of the people when you're doing the will of the people?
And we voted to put them there to do that.
I'm wondering. If you'd like to respond to this, we'll continue the conversation. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, 803-73 if you'd like to text us as the Jeremy Lawrence Show continues on 590 WKZO. WKZO, it's 51 degrees in Kalamazoo. Glad you're along for the ride here on the Jeremy Lawrence Show as we continue ahead. been talking about this minimum wage bill that was passed in the Senate, and critics of the whole effort have been saying again and again and again, well, you're subverting the will of the people. You're going against their will. And my big question was, how? Because basically what the Senate did was respond to the ballot initiative with a little something of their own. They're going, okay, well, the people are speaking. Let's do this. We had a text come in, 80373, by the way, if you'd like to text us and tell us what you're thinking. Someone texted in and said, the people have spoken through the ballot initiative, and the state responded. We need more of this to make the system work. And it's an intriguing concept. But, I mean, put it at its basest level. The people spoke out and said, we want this. And the Senate said, okay. What more do you need? You know? And you know, the merits of this particular idea with minimum wage, they're going to be hashed out in the state house. I mean, because they've got the bill now. They're going to be talking about this. And very likely they'll come up with their own version of the bill. Because, like, you know, I think Republicans that are in control of both houses want to move on this and want to move on so that there are other things that they can get taken care of. That said, you got to figure out where that middle ground is so that business owners are not going to be left holding the bag on this one. And let's face it, business owners won't be holding the bag. We will be, because we're going to be charged more for things. Now, that was one thing. Someone called in a little bit ago, Michael, and they couldn't stay on the line, but they chatted with you for a few minutes. That was one of the things that they kind of got at. But what else did they dig into?
Yes, this former business owner stated that every time there was a wage increase, that they said prices would go up and the people's lifestyles who were affected by the wage increases wouldn't change. They would continue buying the same stuff that they were buying and living the same way they were living.
Mm-hmm. And if prices go up on this stuff, and we've talked about that here before, if prices go up on stuff for everybody, and this group of people that we keep getting told about, yes, they need a raise, they need this, they need that, they can't survive without it. If prices go up on everything and they need a raise to survive, doesn't it make sense that if prices are up, then they're not going to have enough money to survive, and here we go again?
It's more like just treading water. You're not going anywhere.
You know, I understand the idea that you want people to be able to have something more in their life. But I got to think that there is a certain level of, I mean, there's a certain level of reaching out a hand to help out. And I think some of that has to happen on the private level. But I think there's got to be something of inspiring people to more and saying, you know what? I care about you. I want something better for you. Let's inspire you to become more than what you are. Let's inspire you to become better. That's the kind of thing. Instead of, you know what? I care about you and I want what's best for you. Here's some free money that really isn't going to amount to much because prices on everything are going to be higher. Which one is more compassionate? Is it more compassionate to say, here's more money that you're not going to be able to spend on anything other than what you're already spending it on? Or someone that says, let me come alongside, give you a hand up. Let me inspire you to become greater and better. Because all these people that get inspired to become better and greater end up earning a whole lot more than minimum wage. They end up doing great things with their life. And that's the kind of thing that we need to inspire in people. Not the idea of, well, we need the government to give everybody a raise again. That doesn't work. We've seen it not work because guess what? Here we are again. We're talking about it again. Instead, we need to be able to do something else. That's what I think. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or 80373, you could text us and share your insights with us. We'd love to hear from you. And let's go to the phones and chat with Tim, who's standing by in Kalamazoo. Hi, Tim. Happy Friday to you.
Yeah, you too, Jeremy. When President Obama signed in this federal contractor 10 an hour, we're starting to see some of the wrath of that. Military installations across the world, the United States and throughout the world, have contracted vendors there, such as McDonald's, Pizza Hut, everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're on these bases. They're already starting to close because of the contractor mandate of 10 an hour.
Right.
And so the contractors are now, vendors are being asked to be let out of their lease, and they're going to start folding up. And this is one of the consequences of good intentions, but once again, and it affects everything. And so on that side, it affects our troops, the morale, everything on bases. Now things close up. And now the other unintended consequence of raising the minimum wage on people is the price of the goods and services. Somebody, who was it? It was the guy from, was just on the internet, guy from Starbucks or somebody says, yeah, I'm all for raising the minimum wage, and then we're just going to let people out because everybody's going to go to computerized screens to place your order.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. We got more people become unemployed.
Yep. All right, Tim. I got full lines right now, so let me move on. But thanks for your contribution today. I appreciate it. Let's move on here to Chris standing by. Hi, Chris.
Hey, I read a lot online and on Facebook. It seems like the consensus is it's impossible to get people better employment. There's just no. Absolutely no opportunity out there for people to find more gainful employment. So we should just all give up, I guess. I'm not sure how that works or why that works. But the only way that we can enhance everybody's lives is to increase the minimum wage, increase the government giveouts, and forget about people actually going to find real jobs or creating work. So it's just... I feel bad for the people that think like that, that don't understand that, you know, if you have to, you could go work two jobs, or if you have to, you could start your own business,
mm-hmm.
provide a service or a product.
Sure.
But there are, it's a huge consensus that it's impossible to advance.
Well, I mean, it's interesting to me because I know I've heard over the years that, I can remember several years ago Dave Ramsey saying something along the lines of, look, you're not guaranteed a job. If you don't have one and you can't find one, go start a business. I always thought that,
yep.
that made a ton of sense.
Yeah, that's what I do. I mean, I'm self-employed, but that means that every time my job is done, I've got to go home. Create a new job,
mm-hmm.
And somehow, and there are a lot of people who do that, and I look around at all the, there's a lot of wanted help wanted signs out there, but mm-hmm. there are lots of goods and services that people could slip it into a niche, but I guess I could quit my job and go do that, but then I would just be putting for one. From one fail to another.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why people don't get up and say, "Hey, I can go mow lawns," or "Hey, I can go, walk dogs," or deliver goods and services to old people, or
mm-hmm.
There's so many things, and if you're creative, you can do it. And a startup on most of that stuff is so small.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Just mowing lawns. How cheap could you do that?
Well, and mine was I needed a hammer. Actually, I needed a shovel because I started, by picking up construction debris, and then I had two people working with me picking up construction debris, and then pretty soon I'm nailing off roofs, and the next thing I'm standing walls, and the next thing I'm building whole houses. So, it's not something you don't go out and start your business and become a CEO of a multi-million-dollar corporation and get bought out next week.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time to build it, to build a name, to fit
your
niche. You got to reinvent yourself. But I just feel bad for the people that don't see it.
Oh, definitely. Chris, I appreciate your call today. Thank you so much. Let's move on here to Andy, who's standing by in Kalamazoo. Hi, Andy.
Hey, how you doing? You know, Jeremy, there's one problem with everything you're saying, and that is you cannot inspire a person. There's nothing you can do to inspire somebody.
Okay.
That has to come within the person. Mm-hmm. That has to come at an early age. They have to be taught how to become inspired. They have to be taught how to become self-motivated. If this does not happen by the time you are an adult, game over.
Okay. You don't think there's any hope for people to be able to tell them, look, you've got to be able to make your way on your own, that nobody's going to hand you anything. Honestly,
well,
I think there's an awful lot of people, if we did that, that would be awfully inspiring.
Well, I honestly don't think if somebody can't figure that out for themselves, I don't know what good telling them is going to do. I mean, you know, if you have to be told that, you know, I certainly agree with you that, you know, you can encourage somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly get that. But to actually be inspired to go out and start a bit, that's something you're either born with or you have or you don't. Or everybody would go out and start their own business.
Yeah.
I mean, there's those who can and those who, you know what I mean?
No,
there's,
I hear you.
It's a talent. It's definitely a talent that that you develop over many, many years, and it's just not something you can turn off and on and off like a faucet,
sure.
If you will.
Sure. All right. Well, I hear you, Andy. Thanks for your call. I have to move on to some other callers here. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Violet, standing by in Three Rivers. Hi. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment.
Okay.
The people that are on minimum wage, if they raise the minimum wage, they're going to get a pay raise, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that are working now and the hard workers, they're not going to get that automatic pay increase, which, like some of the other callers were saying, that cost of other goods and services are going to go up as a result of the minimum wage increase.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen is you're going to get more people coming down into a lower, like closer to poverty.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, anyway.
Well,
and it's like a slap in your face as far as what you're making now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say somebody's making $12 an hour or $14 an hour, and the minimum wage goes up to $9 or $10
mm-hmm.
an hour. All at once, your wages are really worth a lot less.
Yeah, and if prices go up on things, then guess what? It's going to be a little bit harder to make ends meet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. Violet, thanks for that call. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
And 382-4280, 877-382-4280, if you'd like to chime in on this as well. And we are going to continue ahead here. It's a few more minutes that we have together here on this Friday. We are glad to have you here. Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO, and we've got somebody waiting on the line. That's Noah standing by. Noah, quickly with your thoughts, if you can.
Hey, this is actually my first time ever on the radio.
Congratulations to you, then.
Well, I don't know if congratulations is deserved, but thanks. I really like your show. I'm pretty far to the left, but
okay.
You talk with people in a pretty respectful manner, and I like to hear what other people's viewpoints are. You've probably heard this argument before in the past. What about the notion that a minimum wage that people can't live off of essentially means that we're subsidizing corporations because the taxpayers are going to have to pick up the slack in the form of welfare? So, like, we can condemn people for being on welfare, and then condemn those that won't take a job where they're going to be on welfare even if they work full time. And like I said, we're essentially subsidizing corporations and even small companies that maybe can't afford to pay a livable wage by picking up the slack through welfare, food stamps, and the likes.
Well, you know, I've certainly heard that argument before. I don't know that I necessarily totally buy it. I mean, I've seen the research it was based on, I think, one Walmart in Wisconsin or something like that. But ultimately, you know, I look at it as saying, well, if the prices go up when you do a minimum wage increase, and they do, we know that, if that happens, you're going to be dealing with people that are in the same boat as they were, plus you're going to be dealing with businesses that either close or cut people, meaning really you've not gained a whole lot. You've just got people that are on welfare but not working.
You know, but there are so many stats out there that we can, like, throw them this way or that and put whatever slant we want on them, because I've seen plenty of stats that have shown that, like, historically when we've raised the minimum wage, prices have not gone up enough on products to take away from the raises that people got.
Well, at the same time, you can also see where people lose their jobs, too. So you're right. I mean, it can go either way. No, I got to run. The end of the show is here. Thank you for calling in today. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you. Bye.
Have yourself a great weekend. We'll get together and do it again on Monday. Till then, we'll see you.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.